been in a series called Forget Not, based off of the psalmist, Psalm 103, and he talks about the five benefits that come to God's people. And we forget the benefits. The reason we forget the benefits is when you don't learn how to rejoice before the Lord, you forget the rewards that he's given you. If you don't learn to praise him, you start neglecting and forgetting the perks he gave you. When you stop blessing him, you stop the benefits. In fact, you actually start becoming a whining, complaining Christian. That's not what he called us to be. And so the psalmist is getting here. He's forgetting. This is, you know, here's King David forgetting, and he's reminding himself, the guy after God's own heart, you can be in it so long, you forget. And when you forget, you start just finding everything wrong in life for yourself. Everything's wrong. And he says, you're forgetting the benefits of God, so I'm going to start off praising him. So Psalm 103, if you don't have a Bible, look up to this screen. I got a big old Bible up here for you. Can y'all read it way back there? You can read that, can't you? So I want you to say this out loud, because I just feel like just giving the devil a nervous breakdown this morning. I really do. That ought to be your job. Just waking up, and he sees you wake up, and he goes, oh, no, I should have left him alone. I want you to read this word out loud so the enemy can know the benefits God has given you. Ready? Come on, here we go. Everybody together. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Here's his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Come on, let's praise him that he's the healer here today. He's our healer. Come on, in the balcony, he's your healer today. He's your healer. So high five somebody beside you, say, there's a healer in this house, and his name's Jesus. Come on, tell him, say, there's a healer in the house, and his name's Jesus. Oh, you can be seated. I'll keep standing. Amen. Oh, isn't God good, everybody? I tell you what, it is so good to see everybody today. Man, look at your neighbor. Say, I'm glad you could see me today. Tell him that. Say, I'm glad you could see me today. It's that good. Amen. I'm telling you, I love being with God's people. You know, as I'm going, being raised in this culture, sometimes I pick on society for this, but I don't deal with Sam on this. I don't deal with that. And so I come to the place where I'm seeing something happening where people try to make the Bible fit their lives instead of their lives fitting the Bible. I've seen this more and more. And anytime you try to get the Bible to fit your way of life, you will never see the benefits and the blessing of God. But when you start getting your life to fit the Word of God, you will see the favor of the Lord come on you every time. I'm watching this in culture, even among Christianity. And I almost don't even want to use the word Christianity. I'm looking for people that are image bearers and Jesus followers that are doing what his word said instead of twisting the word to fit, make them more comfortable in their sin and their lifestyle. I don't want the word to revolve around Sam Reifkogel. I should revolve around what God says and see his favor. But it equally comes in this realm of healing. It comes in this realm of healing so much. You see this in healing. Where if somebody says, well, I've never seen a miracle, or I've not experienced a healing or a miracle, then since I don't see it, then it must be God is not doing that anymore. So since and that's the worst thing you could ever do, is to allow your personal experience to write your theology. Dangerous, dangerous stuff. Let God's word establish your belief, your theology, your doctrine, not your personal experiences to make your doctrine and theology. Always defer to the word of God. And so I see people come to this place where they're going, well, since I haven't seen a miracle, but you know what? You know what it is we do like what the psalmist says. We forget and not even realize miracles are around you all the time. Did you know that there was a miracle? You got up this morning and you were sucking in air and God didn't take that breath out of you and stop your heart last night? You're here. This is a big miracle. It's a big deal you're here. It's a big deal you're here. We see stuff happen all the time. We take for granted that the sun rises and that there's oxygen in the air. Do you see the miracles that are happening every single time around you? And yet we start dumbing them down. He says, that's why I got to praise the Lord, oh my soul, for everything. These are all his benefits. So friends, here's the bottom line of this thing. We must always allow the word of God and what Jesus Christ said in his word that must always establish our belief, our theology, our doctrine. It must be him and him alone, not my personal experience. And so when I read what the psalmist is saying here, he's saying, let me tell you, first of all, he's forgiven all of your sins, all of them, not just ones you want to pick out or the ones you remember that he still, no. He says, I have wiped out every one of your sins when you came to me. And he said, not only wipe out your sins, but when I died, I did it so you could be healed, whole, and made well. How many believe, friends, he is still the healer? He's still the healer. And how, but listen, how he chooses and when he chooses, that's his business. I've come to the place in my life where I have rested in one thing. I'm resting in one thing. The one thing I'm going to rest in is this. I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to obey him and pray for people. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey. And that's all God asked me to do. And I still believe he has never changed. He is not only my Savior, but he is your healer, and he's Sam Reifkohl's healer, and he's in this house today. And look, folks, come on. How many of you know we're already healed? Now, I know you're going, yeah, but Pastor, I just got out of chemotherapy. I just got out of dialysis. I'm telling you, we're already, look, when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, when we sold out to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we win. It's already done. It's already done. I like some, Christine Kane, how many girls went to the Propel conference? Okay. Oh, y'all still ODing on the aftermath of that thing, aren't you? That was good. She said something, it just took me back. It shocked me. I thought she was making a big announcement at this Propel conference. She gets up, serious she could be. She goes, I just want y'all to know I'm dying. I thought, is she going to do this here to tell everybody? I'm dying. And then she says, oh, by the way, every one of you are dying. I don't know if you checked last time, but the statistics have not changed. One in one people that have been born on this earth have died. Except Enoch and they all died. Died. Every one of them. And she said, and it just grabbed me, just the simplicity of this truth. We already won. When we became Jesus followers, we already won. We are already healed, just like we are already saved. You hearing this? You are already healed. Look, his healing may come one of three ways. You may be instantaneously healed. We're going to pray for people in this service, and you may be instantaneously healed in this service today. Instantaneously be healed, a miracle today, you'll be healed. Or God may choose to use doctors and medical science that he created, that he gave them the wisdom and the smarts to do it, and he's going to bring his healing through a process, and you're going to be healed. Or, just like every one of our bodies are going to decay, our bodies are going to fail, it's going to happen, it's inevitable. Can I just tell you what's going to happen? They're all going to fail, they're all going to die, except for the rapture when Jesus takes us, they're all going to fail. And guess what? When our bodies fail, the Bible says we stand in the presence of God with brand new heavenly bodies, and one day we'll put on incorruptible bodies. You don't believe? Look what the Apostle Paul said through the Holy Spirit to Corinthians, to the Corinthian church. He said, Chapter 5, verse 1. He says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies. Now, everybody 20 years and younger, you don't understand that statement. Just give it time, baby. Give it time. We go weary in these present bodies. We get tired of things, of the affliction and all these things. We go weary in this. But listen, and we long to put on the heavenly bodies like new clothing. See, that's the promise to the Jesus follower. You're already whole, whether instantaneously here, whether through a process that God uses a doctor, or by you being with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? You've already won this. The devil doesn't have you on this. What I'm trying to tell you is like he told 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the people in Thessalonica. He said, "For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God." He says, "And the dead in Christ, the dead in Jesus Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm telling you that one day we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, and you're going to have a new body, my friends. I don't know about you. I'm going to try my best to steward this earth and take care of this earth, but the Bible tells me this earth is going away because there's a better one that he has prepared, a new heaven and a new earth. And I want you to look at this body. This is how I look with the steroids. I know it's not much. You ought to look at your body, and you know it's not much. But one day, that body, you don't want to stay in that body you got. That body's falling apart. You're getting ready to put on a brand new body where mortality is going to put on immortality. The corruption is going, and the incorruptible body is coming on you. You ought to get excited. You already win this thing, everybody. Man, he's got a brand new body. So look at the person beside and say, "You ought to see what he's got for me up there." Just go, just go ahead. Ma'am, just go over and rub that your husband's belly and say, "Oh, I'm waiting for that new body he's got for you up there." Just rub that belly. Oh, that's going to be a nice body when you get there. You got new bodies, everybody. That's the joy of serving Jesus Christ. You have already won. I wouldn't want to not follow Jesus Christ. So today, we're not going to forget he's our healer. We've already won this thing. So who is it that brings healing? Let me talk to you about the author of healing. One of the reasons why Jesus went to the cross was not just to save you, to have eternal life with him. He also saved you to heal you physically as well. You always win. You're going to win. Look what Isaiah the prophet said in verse 53, verse 4, 5, as he prophesied about what Jesus would do when he was crucified, bled and died for your sins. Look what it says. Here we go. Verse 4. He says, "Surely he," speaking of Jesus Christ, "took our infirmities." Everybody circle infirmities. Now, if you've downloaded the Bible, the church app, our church app, you need to download it. You got notes in there. Pop this in the notes beside it. That word infirmities, you just don't want to use the English word. In the Hebrew, let me just break it down. It literally means sicknesses, maladies, diseases, watch this, and anxiety. Some of you think that this is just about physical healing, but there are some of you that are dealing with things that are making you and put you in depression, in anxiety, panic attacks, fear. You're fearing about your money. You're fearing about your body. You're fearing about your home. He says when he bore this on the cross, he didn't just take care of sicknesses and diseases. He takes of even the issues of your mind, your will, and your emotional issues. Watch this. "And carried our sorrows." Circle the word sorrows. That word sorrows is translated the word pain. And there are some of you today, I'm here to announce that it's just not about God healing somebody from cancer or migraine headaches or something of that nature that needs healing. He says there's some of you in here with pain. You are 69 years old and you're still carrying the abuse when you were 9 years old into your current relationships in your marriage, and it's messing up the marriage. You're taking the pain of rejection and abuse that happened to you as a young man or a young lady. He says, "I didn't just come to save your soul. I didn't just come to heal your body. I want to go deep into the pain that you have carried. I carried that on the cross so you could be free from that. You may remember that, but it's not going to hold you hostage anymore. I'm going to make you brand new, a whole woman, a whole man in Jesus Christ." Come on, you ought to thank God for that. That's what he said. This is what he did. It says, "Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him." God had to do this, and afflicted. Why? "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." If you're brand new here, you need to listen to last week's teaching. Get it on the app, because there's a big difference between an iniquity and a transgression. Because there are many Christians who are saved, but you are not free because you're not dealing with your iniquity. He cleanses you from transgressions and iniquity. Watch this. "He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him." All that pain, we can have peace through it. All that sin, we can have peace through it. And here it is, peace was upon him. Let's all read out loud the underlined part of this scripture so we can once again make the devil just soil himself. You ready for this? Ready? Say it out loud. And by his wounds we are healed. Can you praise God over the healing that comes to you? He took it. He's the author. Look, and what he's saying about Samuel, he said, Sam, I didn't just take your pain of your past. I didn't just take the sin of your past, Sam. But Sam, I also took stripes and beating on my back, was crucified and resurrected from the dead. So you can know you're not just saved. You are healed, Sam, by what I did at the cross. You already win. Let me tell you something. I thank God for good doctors. How many thank God for good doctors? You better believe it. They're called by God. Those in the medical field, called by God. Thank God for doctors. I know some people say, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't go to a doctor. Listen, with as little faith as some Christians have, thank God you have a doctor. Amen. But I want to tell you something that's so clear. You need to understand this. If you were ever healed, whether instantaneously or you had to go through a process of healing, let me make very clear, if you were ever healed, the person that healed you was Jesus Christ, the author that provided that healing. Doctors can treat you, but they are not the ones who heal you. That's why it's called practicing medicine. They're trying to navigate through it just like you are to find the healing for your body. But if you were ever healed, it was Jesus Christ that bore that on the cross for your healing. A doctor can make an incision, but it's Jesus Christ that heals you. A doctor can sew up the incision, but it's Jesus Christ that heals you. A doctor can set the bone, but don't you ever get it wrong. It was Jesus that healed that bone. God, they can give you medicine, but never forget, it was the great physician, Jesus Christ, the one that heals your body. He is the author of healing. You win. Everybody say, I win. You win. You win. Now, let me slow this down. I talk fast and loud when I excite. I talk slow when I want to educate. I want to talk to you, though, for a minute about not just the author of healing, but the avenues of healing, the ways that God heals and even the ways Jesus Christ healed. I want you to look at, there are three words for healing in the New Testament, but it's in the Greek. When you see healing, you just think healing, but in the Greek, it is totally different. It expounds on even more what Jesus Christ did for us and the ways healings can come. The first word you're going to find there for healing is the word sozo. That word sozo literally means to save, which would happen to you when you were born again, but it means to heal. But even in the Greek, it goes further. It means to restore your spirit, your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Some of you have been traumatized in that area. Some of us have allowed things of the world to taint our mind, will, and emotions. Now we got to get lined up with the Word of God, right? And he said, but it also means to restore your body for physical healing. You got to see it. That's one of the words that is used. There's another word. It means spiritual healing and physical healing. There's another one that's iaomai. Iaomai. It literally means to be made whole. It means instantaneous healing, a miracle of instantaneous, both spiritual and physical. People say, I don't see instantaneous miracles. I see them every week. When I see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of you here today that don't know Jesus, and you say, Pastor, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I have eternal life with God. I don't know where I'm headed for judgment. I don't know. I'm telling you, he paid for your sins and your transgressions. He wipes them away, never to be held against you again. And every single Sunday, I see people raise their hands saying, I want Jesus in my life. How many know that is an instantaneous miracle that happens in this place? Every single week it happens in this place. Some people are healed instantly. Other physical diseases and maladies. Then there's another word that is used in the New Testament. It's called therapeuo. It's therapeuo. It literally means to care for the sick. Watch this. To treat, to cure, and to heal. If you'll study the Word of God, you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. There's something that's so interesting where it talks about the gift, and people use the word gift of healing. That people, there's the gift of healing that the Holy Spirit uses. It's not the gift of healings. If you look at that in the Greek, it's literally gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. It's plural. In other words, God is saying, I don't just put one way where you're all going to squeeze me in a box. He says, I have ways that I bring my healing touch to people. And there are a host of therapies. There's different kinds of healings. And he may choose to work in a way that you have never seen him bring healing to you ever before in your life. In fact, Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ did that. Let me show you the different ways Jesus healed, and I'm going to talk about some of the ways that healings have happened in the Bible. Here's one. Sometimes Jesus just simply said, be healed. That's all he had to say. In other words, he just spoke his word, and the moment he spoke his word, healing came to that person. I love what Psalm 107 and verse 20 says. It said, he sent forth his word and did what, everybody? His word. He is the word. Let me just recommend to some of you that are going through physical issues, and not just physical issues, but maybe you're coming out of some trauma that happened to you in your childhood, and mentally and psychologically it affects you. Can I encourage you to do something? Or even if you're in financial problems and you need healing in your finances, go find every single scripture you can find relative to that issue in your life. Put it on sticky notes, make it your screensaver on your cell phone, but put those bad boys up everywhere you go, and you speak that thing to yourself every single morning. You speak it while you're driving. You speak it while you got on your phone. You get that word inside of you, because I'm telling you, the word begins to heal you by just the power of speaking the word Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you have to, turn your whole house into wallpaper full of scriptures that relative to your healing, the gift of God, the blessing of God. How many believe his word still heals? Amen. He just says it. Sometimes Jesus laid hands on them. He would lay hands on the sick and he healed them. Luke 4:40. And you can go study that yourself. Just go look at it. He just laid hands on them. In just a moment, we're gonna pray for people to be made whole and well in this room. We're going to lay hands on you just a moment. Why? Because this is something Jesus Christ did. That's one of the ways he healed. Sometimes Jesus would cast out spirits of infirmities that were causing the sickness. That means there may be a demon that's assigned to taunt you with the sickness. And sometimes you need to discern whether there is an enemy out there, Satan, that's trying to taunt me with this affliction. And Jesus would discern whenever that would happen. Because not all situations were that, but he would discern when that would happen. Look in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. He would liberate them from the spirit of infirmity. And sometimes it's walking with someone that's spiritually mature to find out, is there something that's happening here that is Satan just has an assignment to attack my body with this affliction? Sometimes you have to recognize that. Here's another thing. Sometimes sin can make you sick. Sometimes sin can do this. It's when God's dealing us with about something that we need to repent over, that we need to get in our lives and lay it before God and be broken in humility without pride, saying, God, forgive me. Sometimes this occurred in Scripture. Let me show you James 5:16. This is why James says this. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's something about repenting and confessing and say, God, I lay this before you. And if God's dealing with you about that and he's talking about it, then just repent and lay it down and say, God, I belong to you. And if it requires confessing to someone, would you forgive me? And you both know, you forgive me? Leave that at the feet of Jesus Christ. He says, repent that you might be made whole. Confess those things. Now, there's been teaching out there that was very heavy, and it still lingers around, that if you're sick, you have sin in your life. Now, if you're new in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you need to know that that is not true. Just because someone is sick does not mean there is sin in their life. And people heap condemnation on themselves because they think, I've done something wrong, I've repented. That's not always true. In fact, in John chapter 9, Jesus is down there. He sees this blind guy begging, and his disciples, see, this was the teaching of that time as well. Oh, because he's blind, there's something he did. Lord, what is the sin in this man's life that he's been born blind like this? And then they said, well, wait a minute. Or did his parents do something that this kid's paying for this sin? Jesus looks straight up at him and says, the parents, the mom, the dad didn't sin. In fact, this boy didn't sin. The only reason why, see, we live in a fallen world. We still live in the presence of sin in this world. We still live in the presence of that. We win, but we still live in the presence of it, everybody. Jesus said the reason why this guy's blind is for one reason, to show the power of God working in this man's life. The power of God, the glory of God is going to be seen in this man's life, and everybody's going to know that God, Jesus, is the healer in this man's life. Folks, sometimes the sickness is just that God's glory can be seen by everyone. How many learned something here today? Amen? Sometimes obedience is required to be healed. You have to do something. You have to act on something that the Lord is telling you. But don't do it if the Lord is telling you, okay? Look what happened here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 13. Jesus is sitting there, and there's a man withered in the service, in his service. He's got a withered hand. Jesus looks at him and says, stretch out your hand. Well, you know, a man that's got a withered hand knows he can't stretch his hand, but Jesus says, I want you to stretch it. And the man starts to attempt in obedience to do something he knows he's physically incapable of doing. He gets enough faith to know on the inside I can do it, and what's happened on the inside starts happening on the outside, and he stretches out his hands. It was an act of obedience. When you look in Luke chapter 17 and just verse 14, write it down, you'll see the 10 lepers that stood before Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you're healed. Now go to the priest and show yourself. But when he said, go show yourself, they weren't healed. They were still just covered with that disease all over the body. But the Bible says, as they obeyed, then they were healed by the power of Jesus Christ. They were healed, and Jesus wasn't even around them because he did something in obedience. And I'm just going to tell you this. If there's something God's telling you in obedience to do, then do it in obedience. I'm telling you, if you're on some kind of a medication, I feel like I should get off. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you what you do. You go to your doctor, and you talk to your doctor. Say, hey, I want you to try to wean me off of this because I feel like God's healed me. And that doctor, listen, any healing of God will stand up to any test of science or a doctor. Talk to somebody that's mature in the Lord and say, you know what? I feel like I'm going to need to try to attempt. And have somebody mature to walk you through that. But when God tells you to walk in obedience because healing is on the other side of that. Can somebody say amen to that? Sometimes healings are progressive. I know you're drinking from a fire hose this morning, but stay with me. Sometimes healings are progressive, just like the lepers that walked. Just like they walked. And as they walked, it was progressive. Sometimes your healing is progressive, friends. It doesn't happen overnight. In Mark chapter 8, verse 25, Jesus was even praying for somebody, and it didn't happen immediately. This guy's blind, and the first thing guy comes to the first church service, he's a guest. He's blind, and he wants to be healed. And what does Jesus do? He spits in the dude's eye. In fact, that's what we're going to be doing at the end of this service. We'll be spitting in your eyes when you get... Just joking. Don't edit that and put it on social media, okay? And then everybody think I'm a whack job. Some kind of weirdo. But look what happens here. He spit in his eye. And you would think when Jesus spit in his eye, boom, he should be healed. But he didn't get healed. Jesus had to pray for him twice. It's progressive. Because some of you don't get that instantaneous healing. You think that God's abandoned you. Sometimes the miracles are progressive. Now let me go into one other thing. Sometimes God will heal you through medicine. See, there are two camps. There are two camps over here. It says it's not faith to have medicine. And I'm going to show you a little different. Then you have another camp over here. It says, well, I just don't think God does miracles and healing anymore. So it's not in the will of God to heal. Well, and so I just don't believe that God miracles happen today. Well, if you don't believe that it's God's will to heal, then why in the thunder are you going to a doctor every time you're sick? Because what you're doing is you're living in rebellion because you don't believe he wants to do that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, God, you told me to say it. I said it. It's in the will of God. He's your healer, everybody. But sometimes he will use medicine to heal you. Looking in Colossians 4:14, look what the word calls Luke. He calls him the beloved doctor. One of Jesus' disciples was absolutely a medical doctor. He was a physician. He knew science. He was a physician, and he was called the beloved doctor. If Jesus thought it was lack of faith to go to a doctor, he wouldn't have called him beloved. He told you avoid him. But he saw that there was ways that he created doctors and medicine. It was him. He's the one that's given that to bring healing. Sometimes God can use that. It's the therapeutic. It's the therapies. It's to cure, to heal, and God brings that healing. Let me go a little further than that. 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah was a king, and he was getting ready to die. He was dying. He cries out to God, and God sends Isaiah to him. Isaiah tells Hezekiah, you've got 15 more years. You're going to live 15 more years. But it didn't stop there. Look what it says in 2 Kings 20 and verse 7. It says, then Isaiah said, make an ointment from figs. Look at this. And spread the ointment over the boil. And Hezekiah recovered. It was a therapy. Figs. I'd probably want to eat the figs, but they spread it over that boil. And he was healed. Friends, what is he saying here? He's saying that God can use gifts of healing, therapeuo, treatments, cures that God created that brings glory to God. Here's the problem, though. In this area of therapeuo, what happens is when we get treated by men, we have more trust in man and faith in man than we do in God to heal. If you were ever healed by chemotherapy, by insulin, or anything else, or any kind of drug, you better know very clear, it was Jesus Christ that brought that healing to your body. Because here's what happens. If I put my faith in man, then I can only get what man can do. But if I put my faith that it is God who's my healer, I get from God what man cannot do. And there's sometimes men have done all they can do with their therapies and their treatments, and you're at the end of your rope, and you need to say, God, I started at the beginning believing you, and I start at the end believing you. I win, God. You are my healer, and I receive that healing. You ought to stand on that. Amen? Because when he chooses and how he chooses is his business. My job is to believe him and let his word not revolve around me, but Sam Reifkel revolve around his word. To pray, to trust him and obey. He's still in the healing business. I'm looking down here at Tom Gallant, sitting right here on the second row with us, was our CFO for many years, and now he's working with. Why is this happening? How many years ago was it, Tom, you were diagnosed with leukemia? So 2003, and here he is sitting on this front row to the glory of God, the healing of Jesus in his body. It's 2003, that's Tom. God is in this room to heal, laying on of hands, repenting of sin, be obedient to God. What is it that he wants? But God, all I know this is you are the healer. How many believe when he died on that cross, he took all authority over our sin, amen, death, hell, and the grave? And sickness, he did it. You say, well, Pastor Sam, what are you wanting to do today? We want to pray for you because we believe in the authority of what he did in healing. And sometimes it involves other people in your healing. That's the reason why we open up these altars every single Sunday, because we know that sometimes God will use other people in healing. He expects you, as a Jesus follower, to pray for people when they're in times of pain, sickness, and sorrow. He wants to flow through you, child of God, to be praying for people at work, at school, on the job. You hear in the sick, say, let me pray for you. How do we know this? Mark 16, 17. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus, and these signs will accompany those who believe. How many of you believe in this room? He says, you believe. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. If there's a spirit of infirmity, you can take authority over that. They drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. He's telling you that you can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and communicate and pray to God in a heavenly language and not just your English language. It's still happening today. Who believes that today? It's still happening today. Look at verse 18. He says, and they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Whew. I remember one time, sometimes God uses other people. I don't know if y'all know Rick and Denise Renner. They've been here, spoke at the church before. So one time we were back having lunch together, just eating chicken. And I just winced. And she goes, Pastor Sam, what's the matter? And I said, I've had this rotator cuff. And I mean, I told Brenda, it was just like a year or so, man. This thing had just bugged me. I couldn't lift my hand hardly, nothing. Just winced. And she goes, you know, Pastor Sam? She goes, this is crazy, but I have prayed for a lot of people with rotator cuff problems. And she says, I don't know why, but God uses me, and I feel like I got an anointing to pray for people for rotator cuffs. I said, well, go ahead and pray for me. I mean, she stretches her hand over the grilled chicken to my neck, to my shoulder. She didn't no thunder, no shaking, trembling me and all this stuff. Just, Jesus, I just speak your healing. You paid for Pastor Sam to be healed in his rotator cuff. She sat down. My shoulder still hurt. My shoulder hurt that next day. My shoulder hurt the next 3 weeks. I mean, just good. And then about the fourth week, I just noticed something. I know Brenda said, this is probably 4 or 5 years ago this happened. I said, my shoulder quit hurting. 4 or 5 years later, I have not had a problem with that rotator cuff since that day. And it was progressive. It was like 3 or 4 weeks, it's almost 3 weeks. And I just noticed it. What, that thing's gone. And that bugged me for over a year. Sometimes it involves people having the faith to let them pray for you. And we're going to pray for you in just a moment. But you go, now, Pastor Sam, I know that we win. I know that we win, Pastor. I understand that, Pastor. Like that word sozo means I am saved, I'm being saved, I will be saved. That means not just have I been, my sins been forgiven. God's still holding me today, and he's forgiven me today. And when I stand before Jesus Christ and with him for eternity, I get that, Pastor Sam. We win. I know that we're healed. But, Pastor, why does it seem like the more I pray, things get worse? Anybody else want to admit that with a raised hand? Why is it that when I started tithing, the hot water heater blows? Ever since I started praying for my kid, Pastor, they don't even want to come around me anymore. Why is it that we're praying for revival in this nation and our culture and society is getting worse? Why? I'm here to announce to you, we have all authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me describe it to you the best I can. Why is it, Pastor, that it seems like since I've been praying for healing, my body's feeling worse? I'm here to tell you not to forget, he has all authority to heal you. And you win no matter what. The best way I can describe it was we had Dr. George Wood at our Synergy conference, and he told this story, and it reminded me of the very thing that I had done one time. But he was talking about how when he was a kid, the way they would eat is they'd have chickens, and they'd have to kill the chicken themselves. How many of you ever lived in a home where they had to kill the chicken before you had to eat it? Raise your hand up real high. Real high. Everybody else, you're looking for an experience. This is quite the experience. But he said, my dad would take that chicken by the neck, and he laid on that block, and he said, chicken just come out, you know, flap a little bit. He said, then he'd take that axe and just lop that old head off, you know. He said, I'd watch the bird flap a little bit. He said, I was just a kid. He said to his dad, he said, now, Dad, what would happen if you chopped his head off and then you just let him go? What would happen? He said, you want to see it? He said, my dad lopped the head of that chicken off. He threw that chicken out there. He said, that chicken hadn't done nothing before he got his head chopped off. After his head chopped off, he said, that thing just ran around, wings flapping. And he said, I'm telling you, it was like I'd never seen. He just running everywhere, just going crazy. And he said, what I discovered was his activity was the greatest after the authority of his head was chopped off. The activity increased after he'd lost the authority of his head. And all the activity that's coming against you, your children, your marriage, your home, all this hell that's coming against you, it's happening for one reason. 2,000 years ago, Jesus laid his head on the chopping block and lopped his head off. And his greatest activity has happened after his head has been chopped off. But you and I both know that chicken has a dead end, and it's over for that chicken. And I'm telling you, my friends, 2,000 years ago, Jesus not only took his head off over your sin, never to be held against you again, and you're going to stand before the presence of God, but he also paid the price for our healing, friends, whether it's here or in the air. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the one that heals you, and by his stripes, you are made whole, and you can stand in authority to stand up and say, God, I take a hold of my healing today in Jesus' name. I lay hold of that healing of my leukemia, my sickness, my migraines, every issue of my life. I take authority for it in Jesus' name. Because Jesus took his head off. And you may live in the presence of a sinful world, but his authority is gone. You already win when you surrender to the one that has all authority. His name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Woo! How many are ready to go pray? How many are ready to be prayed for?